You may not realize it, but oftentimes this radio program is a bit of a balancing act.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Oftentimes trying to find that balance between news and commentary and information you have a hard time finding anywhere else. But most important, also bringing you some hope and good news, it can be a balancing act. It's very easy for me to find guests and get on the air and talk about all that's wrong in this world. You will find out if you listen to this program for any length of time. I know that many of you are new listeners on KVOH, the Voice of Hope, broadcasting from Simi Valley area of California. Many of you have been listening for a while now on WRMI, and some of you have been listening to what used to be known as Your Weekend Show, a program that started, hard to believe, just over 6 years ago. Hard to believe that the first Your Weekend Show aired in February of 2015, and we continued that program every weekend, I think, with just a couple of missing for all this, you know, all the way up till this past year when we got past the fifth anniversary in 2020. When I did the weekend program, it was a lot easier because you didn't have to try to do something new and fresh each and every day. We could take on a theme for the week, and I tried oftentimes to be sometimes a magazine format, sometimes to take on a very pertinent issue that people are really concerned about, and that would be the sum total of the program. But here we are now. This program is going to be aired for the weekend edition, and we have additional radio stations online, so it becomes a balancing act once again. How do I balance the things that need to be said to the things you want to hear? Let me just say that again. How do I balance what needs to be said to the things that you want to hear? Years ago, when I was working for a Christian radio station, actually a network by the time we got done, there was always this tension in programming circles within that radio station. Not a bad tension, but there were those that just assumed that everybody listened all the time and we just need to give them what they need to hear, whether they like it or not. And then you had people like me reminding them that oftentimes a lot of people don't want to hear what they need to hear. So how do we bring a message in that environment where we are both edifying the body of Christ, helping them in their walk in their daily lives, and give them information they need while also meeting their expectations of some of the things they'd like to hear? It's a balancing act. And I'm realizing more and more that this program is definitely a balancing act. When I decided, after praying about it and just being disturbed in the middle of the night about doing this program way back last spring, it was probably the end of May or June when the idea of doing a daily radio program first started. Now, let me just kind of back up and give you the genesis of how it all came about. I had spent, as many of you that have listened on a regular basis know, several months working in emergency management. I do have a background in broadcast, but there was a period of time in my life that I worked in emergency management. It started out strictly as public information, grew into planning, and when the COVID-19 pandemic broke out last year and the coronavirus was the news of the day, I was asked to come out of my retirement and if I would come back to work and help on a team in dealing with this virus for a large county in a different state. It was during that time that I continued doing the weekend program. A matter of fact, I was staying in a hotel, and some of the people that I worked with were able to travel back to their home bases because they were only like an hour away. In my case, I was like a more than a day away. And so I would be stuck literally on Saturday and Sunday in a community that had already gone into, shall we say, the lockdown. And I had a lot of time on my hands. The weekends, I kind of enjoyed them because I could produce the weekend radio program, get a little bit of rest from the work I was doing during the week. But during the time of working in emergency management, I got a different perspective on this virus because I'm looking at it, I'm dealing with it firsthand. I watch the news media on television, and they get it wrong so often. It's scary wrong so often. And that's when I thought about maybe when this virus, you know, calms down a bit, or if I opt not to continue up here, maybe I ought to consider doing a daily radio program, because I'm looking at the news that you hear, and so much of it is so wrong, just so wrong. And everybody's scared out of their minds. And the numbers that are being tossed around end up being, well, I'll just say it for my opinion, somewhat inflated. Somewhat inflated. And worst, I saw a lot of politics being played out of this virus. So that's how this program came about. And I also understood we had in the United States an election and a lot of misinformation out there. For those that listen internationally to this program, I can assure you that most of the news you hear about the United States from the filtered media is wrong. It's just wrong. I know that because I live here, and I also know the forces that we fight in this country, many of them abjectly evil. It is what it is. Right now, we have, in my opinion, a very evil leadership in the United States. And that's just my opinion, and here's why. I come from a belief that if you cannot understand the life issue of abortion, then you cannot understand any important issue. I'll repeat that. If you cannot discern the life issue that you are killing a child, you're butchering it, you're murdering it in the womb, then you don't have the moral compass for any other issue. I'm sorry, but that's what it comes down to. This is a very simple thing. If you can't discern it, you have no discernment on many other issues. And so it is an important issue for me. Now, I've had all the people come back, oh, yeah, but you're just pro-baby. You're not pro after they're born. Yes, I am. And I have put a lot of money and a lot of my life in that. So don't come with your straw man argument to me. If you want, just be honest with yourself. You're selfish. You want to find a way to justify murdering a child so you can have a happier and more prosperous life. And I get people upset. Well, the atheists don't care, but I get some people upset who claim to be Christians, but they're pro-abortion, and the two are so diametrically opposed. When I explain to them that abortion is nothing but ancient Moloch worship, you know, pagan worship. Many, many families were encouraged to sacrifice and burn to death alive a newborn infant so they would have prosperity and contentment and happiness in life. And they did. They would literally hand a newborn to the leader of that satanic cult, who would place it in the arms of a burning idol and listen to the baby scream and die. as they danced around trying to drown out the screams. All we've accomplished today is making the screams quiet as the life is terminated. And we have politicians today that are duplicitous. Oh, I'm a good Christian or a good Catholic, whatever. And the churches teach, you know, abortion is wrong, but they support it with your tax dollars. The argument then comes, once again, the balancing act that we all seem to be going through. Well, you know, that's true, I believe, personally, and they go on and on. But, you know, this is a country. I've come to conclude something, and we talked about this on the program. I think it was last week. I may have shared it, maybe earlier this week. I can't remember what day. There's this hymn, "Ashamed of Jesus shall it never be, a mortal man ashamed of thee." If you know that something is wrong, and you somehow think that in the governmental things you need to permit it, you need to permit it. And we're talking, these are not sins people commit only to damage themselves. These are sins that damage other people. These are things you do that affect somebody else. And if you can, you got to make a decision. And I've really thought about this at length. You have to make a decision. Do you serve God or man? Real simple. Do you serve God or man? And it's obvious that a lot of people would rather serve man for the accolades and the money than they do wanting to serve God. They try to, you know, bargain with God, so to speak. A lot of politicians, I don't care if it's in my country, the United States or Canada or anywhere across any of the continents of the world, a lot of politicians are intrigued by the power. They love it. They crave it. They crave the attention. They also have sold their soul in many cases to get there. We see that in our country today in the United States. I see it with so many of the people that when they talk on television, they are morally, intellectually, and spiritually bankrupt. They have no life in them. And that yet they're getting paid well, and they're on TV, and they're making decisions that affect a nation. You know, if you claim to be a Christian, Nancy Pelosi, if you claim to be a Catholic, Joe Biden, and many others, and you're willing to go against the teachings of your church, you have one of two choices and not both. You cannot be duplicitous on this one. This is the once, and you know, you got to make this decision. Who do you serve, God or man? And this is a case where if you know that something is wrong and the church has spoken against it, the Bible teaches against it, the tradition of the faith has been explicit about this over the centuries, you either have to resign your church and curse God, because that's what you're doing anyway, or resign your political office. Now, that I know that's hard for some to accept, but if you're going to compromise those things that you allegedly believe, and you're going to compromise them daily, consistently, and those that have died at the hands of abortion continue to pile up, you got to make a decision. You're either a part of it or you're against it. You either stand with God or you stand against God. And this is what I don't understand about those that try to claim that they're Christians while they're doing things in contradiction to the Scripture. It's a balancing act, I know, to be in politics today. I get that. There was a time maybe 30 years ago I would have considered going into politics at strictly a local level, but not anymore. Once I got deeper into ministry, I didn't have time for it. Ministry came and replace that urge. Honestly, I don't want anything to do with it. Talking to a good friend of mine on the phone the other night, and we were discussing just how dirty and evil politics can be. And while we do talk a little bit about it on this program, I want to start talking less about politics on this program. Because we need to be talking more about the hope that can be found in Jesus Christ. I can tell you my feelings about the pandemic, how the numbers have been inflated, how fear has been used, how freedoms have been denied, and how people are being herded like sheep, unbeknownst to them. I can also tell you that I know, without a shadow of a doubt, the virus is real, and for many it can be a very rough ride, and for some it can be fatal. But in the United States, it was not over 500,000 that died of the coronavirus alone. Let's be honest. When the average age of someone that dies is well into their 80s, and there are on average 2.6 serious underlying medical issues, many with of themselves would be fatal. To say strictly that it was the coronavirus is not being intellectually honest. I mean, that's the only way to put it. To not lay blame where blame belongs, which is the country of China. That's right, China. And also Dr. Fauci. We've talked about this, and I'll say it again in case you've ever missed it. It was the NIH, the organization Dr. Fauci runs, that a number of years ago got a hold of the first SARS-CoV virus. This goes back to 2003, 4, and 5. And over time, gain-of-function studies were done. By 2014, they became illegal in the United States. So where did this virus end up? In a level 4 lab in China with United States money provided by none other than Dr. Anthony Fauci. How convenient. How convenient. He now is the czar, or was, or maybe still is, to some people, not to me. The man hasn't been right yet. We know that. I mean, what prediction has he made that's ever come true? None. Zero. But he's still on the TV. You know, I could go on for another half hour, I'm not going to, on that topic. And we'll talk about it from time to time. But with everything going on in the world today, the virus, the vaccine, you know, I've got friends of mine, we disagree on the vaccine on multiple levels. Some think it's a great savior. Some think it's totally diabolical. And I kind of take a middle ground. It's untested, and I don't want to be the guinea pig. I try to be pragmatic. But I also want to give you what other people are thinking. Now, do I thoroughly agree? Not necessarily. Do I thoroughly agree? No. With some of what I hear, no. But I know for me, I'm very hesitant and very uncomfortable with the idea of these vaccines. Because we're using technology that has been tried and failed before. So I'm not so certain I want to trust myself because we don't know the long-term effects. Here's what we do know, and this has nothing to do with the distribution of the vaccine. Yeah, a lot of people have been given an injection, but they haven't had their second, so it's not this sudden herd immunity from the vaccine. What we are getting right now is herd immunity because it, number one, has kind of worked its way through the population. Number two, we started in January realistic testing that wouldn't give so many false positives in these phony baloney asymptomatic cases that everybody was scared about. That's why everybody wore a mask in a grocery store, because that healthy person over there might really be a spreader and kill you and infect you. You must treat every human being around you as a potential source of infection and death. And it all turned out to be baloney. It's going to be interesting over the next 2 weeks as states like Mississippi in the United States and Texas begin to pretty well say enough is enough and roll back these mandates. I can say one thing from the For What It's Worth department. The states that did the most draconian lockdowns did the worst. The states that shut everything down did the worst. Georgia, where we spend part of our time, is kind of a mixed bag. Most of the state did fairly well. Metro Atlanta, a few other places, not so good. And so the death rate per 100,000 seemed a little bit high, but once you got past a handful of states that had massive death numbers, most everybody started coming in on the average, and those that, well, were not as draconian started looking better as you go down the list. So we may have learned something. Our best intentions ended up being more damaging. Yet there are those on the TV and in the news that are still, we've got to stay locked down. We can't open up. We got to kill every business in the country. You know who really enjoys this? The fast food chains with their drive-through windows. They're thriving. Amazon, who delivers to your door, is thriving. The big box stores that were allowed to be open are thriving. And the liquor stores are thriving. And in California, those places you can get marijuana are thriving. They're doing great. But the small husband and wife owned family restaurant has been decimated. And for what? And for what? We started learning early on. We started learning that they really weren't the big mass spreaders everybody thought they were. Churches, that's the other one we've talked about. I'll say it again. When I can fly on an airliner, and I'm saying this because I know some people only hear the weekend program, not the ones earlier in the week. Two times over the last 6 months, I've had to fly on business, all church-related business. And I'll confess to you right now, there were times that I'm a little bit hesitant. That's the human nature. Oh, well, I get, you hear that voice. Oh, maybe I'm going to contract this disease and I'm in my 60s and, maybe it's going to be really bad or something terrible. And I had to go, Lord, you call me to make this trip. Get thee behind me, Satan. It's all I can tell you. And both times I made that trip. And both times I got home and never was sick. I don't think I've had the coronavirus in the past 12 months or 13 or 14. It may have been around that long, but for whatever reason, I know that my wife is big on vitamins and things of that nature. I had to fight that little fear, that voice, and say, Lord, you've called me to do this. If you can call St. Paul to go to certain death in Rome, you still carried him through. See, having a happy and prosperous life is not a promise of God. Having a full life in Him and an eternal life with Him is the promise. And I think sometimes we forget that promise. Well, I know this first part of the program has been a bit of a rant and rave, so to speak, on just a few topics. Our bankrupt governments, our media that lies. And Monday through Friday, each day when I do this program, and for the weekend, we will expose some of these things you need to know. But I'm going to tell you this, and this is where the next half of the program will be coming into play. There are a few things I do want to share going into the next half of the program. I've had several letters, and I'm trying to, you know, there's kind of a consensus between several of the letters. And just so you know, I do read your letters. It may take me time to get back to you. It's not as easy as you think to phone or email. I mean, right now, putting our programs together this week, we have several family issues to take care of. So we're having to try to get ahead, and we're trying to deal with some very important things with members of the family, also things to do with ministry, and also things doing with, you know, increasing the reach of this program that are taking tremendous amounts of time. Plus, I'm also trying to help a dear friend that has an online Christian school and some serious website issues. This has been consuming a lot of my time. So I'm not ignoring any of your letters that you're sending. I really am not. I will get to you. It's not as easy as you think. I probably have 30 letters to write. And I'm not one to really want to make a lot of phone calls, because I get enough phone calls as it is. So I apologize in advance that I may not call you, even if you give me a number. I will write you as God gives me the time. We're in a different world today than the world I grew up in. Now, I thought the world I grew up in was perfect. It wasn't. We had the... As a child, the Soviet missile crisis, we worried about things like atomic missiles landing in our cities and World War III destroying us all. Over these years of my life, we've had a number of various crises, from, you know, shortage of oil, weather, war, 9/11, take your choice on what you believe on that. A lot of people asked, what do I believe on 9/11? My answer is, I can't give you an answer because it's not an area of my expertise. And I've read so many very compelling articles that deal with it from both sides. And so I don't know the best way to answer your question. And I'm not trying to be evasive. I'm just telling you, all I know is 9/11 in the United States was a horrific time. An horrific event, and I know there's some that think it was an inside job, some that are convinced that it was radical Islam, and I hate to be the one to say I can't answer definitively, except to say this, in early 2001, I was the pastor of a small church in the west coast of Florida, on the west coast of Florida. And my wife and I lived in this little small house in a community called Venice, Florida, in a nice little quiet neighborhood. And all that summer long, we kept hearing jets flying overhead. Now, that wasn't totally unusual to hear a jet occasionally, small jet, you know, like a Learjet or, you know, the two-engine things. It wasn't all that uncommon, but my wife mentioned one time, this is like July of 2001. She goes, what in the world is going on at that airport? It seems like we're getting these jets, you know, flying over our house every day. Twice a day. What gives? It turns out that was Muhammad Atta learning how to fly a jet, though he didn't care to learn how to land it. So you see why there's one piece of information I know because I live there, and people knew of these individuals that were there, and many were reclusive. A little bit strange. I know there's some that still say it's an inside job. You're talking to the wrong guy on that one. I can't help you. But on looking at raw numbers on a pandemic, supposedly what's supposed to have happened in this country. I can do math as good as anybody else and tell you the numbers that I see. I'm just giving you the raw numbers. How many people, how many tests, how many false positives, how many people died of other things, how the standard got changed on March the 24th of 2020, which allowed the death count to skyrocket literally overnight. Yeah, I can share all those things. I will share with you the things that I can feel comfortable about. I will let others share things in this program I may not fully agree with, but I'll let you sort it out. Somebody made a comment, and I'm just going to run over just a little bit toward the break here, but somebody made a comment, and they're correct, and I understand exactly what you're saying. We don't need another Alex Jones in your program, and I'm not trying to be. We don't need a lot of other things that you hear. I just want to be what I've always been all my life, a pragmatic individual. When something doesn't look right to me, I'm going to tell you. And others that I know will share with you what they're thinking on their mind as well. Somehow we're going to find the truth if we keep digging long and hard enough. However, the most important truth I can share with you is what we can expect in our future.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Yesterday's clothes. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. Now, if you're honest out there, you'll admit that some of you, at certain times in your life, you've gone to bed with your clothes on. Come on, be honest about it. You wake up in the morning, you find yourself wearing yesterday's clothes. It's not a great feeling. You don't feel really new or fresh. Something just doesn't seem right. If you actually go through the day without changing, somehow it just doesn't seem legitimate. It doesn't seem quite legal. It's as if you're breaking the clothing law. It's just not cool to wear yesterday's clothes today. And just as it is in the natural, so it is in the supernatural. The New Testament speaks of putting away the old self and putting on the new. Now, interesting. In the original Greek, it speaks in terms of clothing. So to wear the old self in the new birth is to wear yesterday's clothes today. If you're born again, you're not the old person anymore. If you still think you are, it's just a case of still wearing yesterday's clothes. If you still think you're a messed up or fearful or gloomy or unloved or unwanted or scheming or wounded or addicted or unhappy person, you're wrong, my friend. The Bible says you're now a beloved child. But you know what the problem is? You forgot to take off yesterday's clothes. The day of salvation has come, the day of new beginnings and miracles, but you forgot to take off yesterday's clothes. That you used to believe you were, it's not you anymore. It's just an old identity. It's just clothes. It's old clothes. So by faith and in the spirit, my friend, start taking off those old clothes, start throwing away that old identity and greet the new day in the new you, because it's never cool to go around with yesterday's clothes. Want more? Ask for old clothes, new clothes. Now, how'd you like to be faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound? Well, how about move mountains? You can. Sapphire is the super spiritual supplement to turn your walk into a super life with God. Plus, the incredible mystery of the temple doors, all free. How do you get all these gifts? Easy. Just remember Jesus' Hebrew name, Yeshua, and dial it. That's all you do. Just dial 1-800-YESHUA-1. You'll be so blessed, but call now. 1-800-YESHUA-1. Now, I invite you to join with me in the Great Commission to bring salvation back to the Jewish people and to reach millions of unreached peoples around the world on 5 continents. Just call now. 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or write me direct. The Nice Jewish Boy at Box 1111, Lodi, New Jersey, 07644. It's The Nice Jewish Boy. It's Box 1111. It's Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey. And it's 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying Shalom Aleichem. Peace be to you, my friend, in Messiah Sar Chaim, the Prince of Life.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
I'll admit, when I started today's program, I had notes in front of me to talk about several things. And for whatever reason, I felt led to go in the direction that I did for at least a little while. Well, this half of the program, we're going to change direction entirely. We're going to talk about things that are hopeful and helpful, and I really pray a blessing to you. I did mention at the beginning the idea of a balancing act, and there's a lot to that. Let me explain what I mean by a balancing act in doing this radio program. As many of you know, this program airs as a radio program on, over the weekend in particular, several shortwave radio stations. A number of frequencies, Friday through Sunday on WRMI, don't have them all in front of me, KVOH out of Los Angeles, I think it's 11 p.m. Eastern Time, also on The Voice of Hope out of Zambia in the eastern part of Africa, covering most of the continent. So we're heard on those shortwave facilities, also a couple of domestic AM and FM radio stations on the weekend as well. And we are growing as a podcast, and this is one of those areas that concern me in the future. Got notification that you can now easily find this program on Apple Podcast. Just so you know, this program now is on Apple Podcast. And I really hadn't worked hard to get that there, but there it is. You can find it. And if you have, and once again, we're going to get into this. Some people are deathly afraid of anything computer intruding into their homes. I'm not as concerned. There's so many millions of us, and I'm just careful the kind of stuff that I do with it. And we're working on even those that want to use the Alexa devices to be able to hear the program. I know that concerns some, but for many of the listeners, they like the convenience. You can actually now ask Siri, I think it says, play podcast Truth to Ponder. And it's supposed to, as I've been told, start playing. I'm working on the Google alternative. For some reason, they don't like the number or word 2. And so I think right now, and maybe those of you that do that kind of thing, I have it temporarily as play Truth Unashamed or Open Truth Unashamed. If I'd known that, I would have probably changed the name of the program to start with. But it is where we are. And these are vehicles that are open for now. In other programs, I've talked about my concerns in this cancel culture time in which we live. Cancer culture is a satanic cancer. It really is. It seeks to destroy everything in its path. Both, you know, it'll claim getting rid of bad, but it'll completely destroy the good with it. Give you an example of what I mean. And this has been said by many that witnessed this way back when. During the time that Nazi Germany was going into places and burning books, and they would go out there and have these big bonfires and they would burn books. You know, this is cancel culture at its best. Trying to erase history. There's only a continual present day, kind of like the book 1984. And as some books were being tossed in, somebody noticed one of the books looked familiar. And they reached into it. It wasn't all the way deep in the flames. They were able to get it out. It was a Bible. They were in such a zeal to destroy everything, they were burning God's word. We are excited to still have this little door of podcasting open on a number of platforms. And I pray that my little voice will be ignored by the tech tyrants for a while to come. I'm not a big name, so it helps, unless people start complaining. So we're going to use these platforms while they're there. And I'm still praying to find an alternative platform that won't be as controlled. It's not as it's easier said than done. And I also have to justify any expense that I pay for in doing that. I've kind of thought about putting something together that's not just for me, but maybe for some other Christians to share. A way to share video and audio and messaging between ourselves in kind of a private area. So, and I'm hoping that a lot of other people rise up and pick up that mantle. And so we're happy to have this opportunity as a podcast. And there are a lot of people every day, I'm amazed, that listen all over the world as a podcast from one of the many different sites that we use. If you go to our website, truth2ponder.com, and you go to where to listen, you can find some of the more popular podcast site. Click it. And some people sign up so they get notified whenever the new podcast becomes available. And so we're excited to still have that as an opportunity for people to use it as a podcast. But shortwave radio to me is still vitally important because as the tech tyrants may, very possibly, I pray they don't, but it could happen, I'm noticing other ministries or places suddenly taking an interest in shortwave, some that didn't have an interest or abandoning it, you know, like 5, 6, 7 years ago. Oh, suddenly shortwave is cool again. I've been a believer in it since the 1980s. Yeah, I understand there are less listeners. I understand there are far less stations, and I understand it's hard to keep these things on the air. But it's still a voice we need to maintain. That's why I'll try to support the stations that carry this program, like WRMI. And we're sending out payments this week to radio stations. And all we get from any listeners, income-wise, it looks nice coming through, but it all goes out the door, every dime of it. Just so you know. And if you'd like to help, you can do it from the website, truth2ponder.com. I've even heard that from the Anchor podcast site, I discovered that we have a few people giving monthly support to the podcast. So thank you. God bless. It keeps our expenses down, and we can throw those into shortwave. And you can also send a check, make it out to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio. And our mailing address is 21 Berkshire, BERKSHIRE, 21 Berkshire Lane. And we are also, that's box 263. You can just put number 263. The mail person, unless they're delivering a package, that goes to a secure box number 263 that we can then pick up. And we are in the big little city of Sky Valley, two words, Sky Valley, Georgia. And the zip code is 30537. One last time, 21 Berkshire, BERKSHIRE Lane, number 263 in Sky Valley, Georgia. And the zip code 30537. One of the letters that I received in the past week, I've had several with this same theme. And I want to address that now and kind of tell you what I'm thinking moving forward with this program over the weeks ahead. As someone reminded me, there are plenty of prophets of doom, so to speak, both secular and religious, on the air. And while a certain level of that is helpful when you're trying to talk to a lost world, if that's all I talk about, if that's all I have to offer, then why bother? And I agree wholeheartedly. It's an easy trap to fall into to talk about all the things that are wrong with the world. But I need to spend as much time on the solution, so to speak. How do we deal with that? How do we get through it? Those that are members of the household of faith that have spent any time in God's Word will understand several concepts. Number one, we live in a lost and dying world. Number two, Jesus came to die for our sins to redeem this world. Number three, he's coming again. That we can agree. I'm sure that from time to time we may disagree on some of the mechanics, but it's simple. He was born, he died, rose again, and is coming again. That we all can agree on. We all can agree that as we get toward the end of time, Jesus said, like in the days of Noah, that'll be when the Son of Man returns. I look at this world today. Now, you could look over time and probably make the same argument for many periods of time in many parts of the world. This whole idea of cancel culture we spoke of a few minutes ago, that's been going on since the beginning of, well, since Satan started attacking the church. It's always been a cancel culture. Look at Germany. Look what happened there. Look at the Soviet Union, what happened there. Cancel this, cancel that, destroy that, reinvent, make history disappear, rename. China, 1950s and 60s, the Cultural Revolution under Mao Zedong. Millions died at the hand of enraged young people. Think about this for a moment. At the hands of enraged young people, by the time the Cultural Revolution started, the Chinese Communist Party had successfully co-opted education. And now the children, from the time they were little tots, were being indoctrinated into the communist way and were being trained in the schools to look at traditions and even their parents and anything that resembled religion with total suspicion. By the time they get to the college and university level in China, this is the ultimate indoctrination center. This is brainwashing, what they did to children. And in a generation's time, these young people were ready to go out and destroy and kill on behalf of the Communist Party. They killed people. They beat them up. They burned their homes down. Destroyed everything. Because they were so full of hate and rage and indoctrination. Now, let's come to the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, European Union. The educational system has been co-opted by the left. Those that have the communist leanings of power and subjugation, they want to make you the slave of the system. That's what China is. You become either a party member in good standing, and everybody else is just a drone slave of the system. We have a cancel culture in America right now. This is no different than Nazi Germany, no different than the Cultural Revolution in China, no different than the Bolshevik Revolution. All one and the same. All satanically inspired. Trust me on that. As I told someone this past week, when I heard suddenly Dr. Seuss is horrible and racist and this and that and the other and cruel. We got to cancel him now. And I responded to somebody. So I guess we're trading in the cat in the hat for the Ralph in a dress. If you have no idea what I mean by the Ralph in a dress, Rachel Levine, you know, the transgender whatever that they're trying to put into the assistant health secretary. His name is really Ralph. So, you know, Ralph in a dress is good. Cat in a hat is bad. I mean, this is what we're trying to tell our children. We have children that are depressed because of over lockdowns and the pandemic. What control we had over the population then? Dry run on how far people can be pushed, in my opinion. But the Cultural Revolution is here. And if you had said this kind of stuff 10 years ago, you would have been laughed at. 10 years ago, in the year 2011, who would have thought we would have same-sex marriage and we'd be throwing out The Cat in the Hat because, or any other book, or on Mulberry Street, all because it's terrible, evil, and must be replaced? You wouldn't have believed it. But day by day, we keep going there. The pandemic shut down churches, put people in fear. Governments were more draconian to churches and restaurants, bars, and places you can smoke dope. Now, you could have better social distancing. You could be closer, you know, puffing on marijuana than you could be in a church in many places. This is the world we live in. And this is why we do this program, Truth to Ponder. I can't change any of this. That's the sad news. I can't fix it. I can illuminate it. I can bring it to your attention. And I can bring you to the one that will ultimately change it in his time. But he'd rather be changing you. He'd rather have that relationship with you. He'd rather bring his promises to you and carry you through these days and times that lie ahead.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And it's closer now than it's ever been. Oh, I can almost hear the trumpets give the sounds of call. And at the when Jesus steps out.
regardless of your Christian tradition, there's something we can all agree upon. We know that Jesus was born, had an earthly ministry, he died, he was resurrected. He's redeemed us for those that claim his name, and he's coming again. There's going to be that midnight cry. Look at this, the seasons and the times around us, and the world we live in. It's a global world now, unlike we've ever had before. We live in a global economy like we've never had before. And we live in a cancel culture doing the work of Satan like we've never seen before. Today they cancel Dr. Seuss. Tomorrow they may cancel the Bible, being hate speech. It's already being done in some parts of the world. It's already illegal in Canada to preach on certain Bible verses. It can get you in a lot of trouble. And if you think it's not coming here, you're deceived. This program has a multi-fold message. Number one, information, so you have an idea of what's going on. But number two, this program needs to do more of two things, and I'm going to be doing that as we get into this month. More about how do we prepare from a biblical perspective. How do we get ready for these things? We need to. How do we share our faith in these difficult times? We are required to. And many Christians don't seem to want to. And that is sad. Many people lived in fear all year of the virus. You could see it in their eyes. They didn't go to church. They wouldn't go outside. They're afraid. I'm going to die. I might go to church and get sick and die. So I'm going to stay home. I can't go. We've learned one thing that the media hates to discuss. The churches were really never the super spreaders after all, that they thought they were. We truly do live in a precarious time. Quickly, before the program runs out, I've got a lot of letters to get out. If I haven't sent you a letter or replied to something you said, give me some time. I am currently swamped with doing the radio program and a couple of other ministry projects that really need my attention. And it's not that I'm ignoring you. It's just of late, there's a sudden increase in letters, and I'm only one person. I don't have a staff. So please bear with me if I haven't gotten back to you. I read all the letters. I take a lot of what you tell me to heart. And many have said one thing. You need to be more ministry-minded. We don't need another, scaremonger on radio or shortwave or podcast. There's plenty of them out there. You're right. I can talk about some of this stuff, but I'm going to talk about the hope we have in Jesus Christ. If you believe in what we're doing, visit the website truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com. If you want to help support the airtime bill on shortwave, you can mail a check to Ancient Word Radio, and that is 21 Berkshire Lane, B-E-R-K-S-H-I-R-E, Berkshire Lane, number 263, Sky Valley, Georgia, and our zip code here is 30537.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.